Each other to friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy good to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
I've realized what you're doing to me.
What am here. I doing to you, Jack?
It took me a while to figure. It's taken me 5 episodes to figure it out.
What?
Your remains of the daying me.
Oh, okay. Remind me what that is.
Have you seen it or read it?
No.
It's Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah, it's vaguely familiar, but I don't think
It's Anthony Hopkins.
Have, like, passing knowledge of it.
And the British lady who's in all the things. She's Eleanor Dashwood in Sense and Sensibility, I think. I think it's her.
Is it is she a dame?
No, she's not a dame.
Okay. Is it what's her face?
Yes, it's what's her face.
The one British actress who everyone knows?
Yes, that's what I said.
Her name is, gosh, I can picture her face so clearly.
You're literally Googling it right now.
I'm trying to figure out her name.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter.
Who was the character you said?
She's Eleanor Dashwood in Sense and Sensibility. And I'm pretty sure she's
Emma Thompson.
Yeah, I think she's in Remains of the Day. But yeah. Do you know the premise of it?
No.
I think it's a Katsuo Ishiguro novel.
Okay. I've only seen one movie about a Ishiguro novel, and it's that one with all the clone kids who
live
in the clone facility.
Yeah, it's mournful in the same way. But the premise of Remains of the Day is that Anthony Hopkins is a repressed British butler.
Okay.
And Emma Thompson, I hope it's Emma Thompson. It could be another British actress, in which case I apologize to that actress if she's a listener. Emma Thompson is like the new maid. And he, like, his one thing that he does that he likes is he, like, reads these, like, saucy romance novels.
Oh, okay.
But he keeps
sort of
it to himself.
His naughty thing?
Yeah, but it's like he's repressed, so he, like, wouldn't want anyone to know about it. It's like this side of himself that he never shows.
Oh, okay.
And then she, like, talks to him about it, or she thinks it's cute, and it, like, fucks everything up. That's my memory of
it.
It's been a long time since I've seen. No, it's, like, it's very repressed.
Oh, okay.
But I realized today, because I was like
hug?
I was like, oh, sorry, I've got to work. Like,
yeah,
I can't
I've
hang
got
out.
Work to
I've
do.
Got I've got work to do. And I went into my study and I put on some, you know, like some.
Your library. You could still smell my scent.
Something I could listen to that, like, wouldn't be too distracting, like some jazz.
Yeah.
That so I could really get down to work.
Yeah.
And it was like, read this saucy novel. And I'm a old man with a child.
Yeah.
And I'm Anthony Hopkins in Remains of the Day. I'm reading these, like, saucy
fucking. You got a mortgage.
Yeah, I got a mortgage.
You don't have time to be sitting down reading saucy novels, probably, like,
yeah,
getting a little hot under the collar.
And you and I'm getting hot under. I'm getting revved up.
Yeah, you're getting revved up.
Yeah.
You're calling your wife in.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm getting revved up. And she's like, well.
Yeah,
deal
I'm
with
busy
it.
Too. I also work from
it's
home.
It's the middle of the workday.
Dear. Some of the work I've been doing lately has got me rather revved up.
Quite too messy.
But your remains of the daying me. It's this, like, secret shame I have.
Is this my doing?
Yeah, you made me do this. It's your idea.
We had so much fun reading The Governess Game.
I know, and they're so fun.
These books are fun, and we read a book this week called Unmasked by the Marquess.
Yeah, or I would say Marquess.
By Cat Sebastian.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Marquess, right? You Brits pronounce everything so weird. Well, it's also spelled Marquess.
Yeah.
But that's because British people pronounce Marquis wrong. Right?
It's called Unmasked by the Marquess by Cat Sebastian.
But here's the thing about Unmasked by the Marquess is it's a return to form.
Yes.
We're back.
We're back in the Regency.
In the Regency subgenre, which so far...
Yeah,
Jack, and I've only read 5 of these.
Yeah.
6, counting The Governess Game.
Yep.
So far, Regency is my favorite. There.
Yeah. There it is. And I said it too. I say it too. I say this too. I say what you've said too. My favorite so far. I mean, quaint, I like them all.
I like how quaint the sex scenes are.
Yeah.
It's not like these modern sex scenes where they're all like on their iPods or whatever.
It's like Jane Austen, but doing it.
It's like Jane Austen,
and
with doing
no
it.
And there's no beeping and booping.
There's no beeping and booping.
None at all. And there's but there's lots of horses.
Lots of horses, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. This was Love in the Time of Horses.
Let's talk about this, because we... So it's... I'm Jack Shepard.
Tanner.
Yeah, and it's Strange Bedfellows. And this one's by Cat Sebastian. We talked about this a little bit last week. Cat Sebastian is what you would call a cat named Sebastian if there was already a Sebastian in your family.
Right. Or if you're a little quirky,
yeah,
you would call the cat Sebastian, you would call the human... Human Sebastian.
A human Sebastian, yeah. But in this case, I think what's happened is that there's already a Sebastian. And so when people come over and they say, and you say like, oh, Sebastian got into the tuna. People be like, which Sebastian? Oh, cat right. Sebastian.
Right.
And
I still, we, my, Jamie and I had a cat named Meg who passed a few years ago.
Yeah.
And Jamie has a very close friend named Meg. And anytime she starts to tell me a story about Meg, it's to this day, I will say, wait, which Meg?
Yeah, that's funny.
Cat Meg or person?
Cat Meg? Yeah, exactly. Well,
in fact,
so
she calls her friend Meg, person Meg to me.
Person Meg. Exactly. This proves my point. Yeah. But so if you have noticed, the cover of this novel has a little blurb on the cover by our friend, Tessa Dare, who wrote The Governess Game, which we love.
Oh, she is our friend, right?
Yeah. I mean, in that we really liked her book, The Governess Game, another great romance novel.
I think there's a chance that.
And we're getting actually, we're becoming real experts, aren't we? Because we just know that. I was like, oh, Tessa Dare, of course, I know who that is. It's already happening.
Oh,
we're becoming
yeah.
experts.
We're insiders now.
But did you see
this
what,
podcast is going to become impenetrable?
Yeah, that's what we want.
Unlike Robin.
Okay, there we go.
Book, it was very okay. penetrable.
Yes.
Because they do penetrative sex.
Yes. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But did you see what Tessa wrote?
No. Please.
Shall I say it on the cover?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's what Tessa's...
The audiobook doesn't have a cover, okay. So...
Here's what Tessa Dare has said about Cat Sebastian. Cat Sebastian has a place on my keeper shelf.
Oh, cats do love shelves.
Yeah. So I think this is Tessa Dare's cat.
They like knocking things off.
Yeah. It's cute. You know?
They go up there and they do their little...
That's Cat Sebastian.
They just watch it fall.
So by the process of deduction, that must mean that Tessa Dare has someone else called Sebastian in her family.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's a brother.
Yeah, and this concludes that thought.
Okay. Is that a segment?
No, it's just a thought that I had.
Okay.
Cat Sebastian, it's cute. It's cute. We loved your book, Cat Sebastian. It was great. We really enjoyed
it. Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun one. How do we even describe these books? I described the last one.
No, you didn't, and don't lie to me. I know you. I know I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm happy to do it again.
I mean, I can take a run at it.
You want to take a run at it?
Yeah,
we do it in 90 seconds. What we do is we put 90 seconds on a big bad clock.
Do you think I can remember any of the names?
I can say them to you: Alistair de Lacy, 8th Marquess of Pembroke, Charity
Lord
Church,
Pembroke,
and Louisa Selby.
What's Charity Church's man name? Robert.
Robert Selby.
Selby.
Or Robin. Yes. I think Robin is what Charity Church... There's a little note at the end. Charity Church is a non-binary character, and there's a note at the end by Cat Sebastian, which is that Cat Sebastian has raised the issue of should we say they or she?
Right.
But Cat refers to Charity Church as she, but Cat's point is that Robin is the preferred... That's what makes, I think, Charity Church happiest, is being called Robin.
Robin, right, which is the name that is bequeathed upon her by her lover, the rich Lord Pembroke.
That's right.
Bisexual man who has complicated feelings about his attraction to this dashing young man named Robert Selby.
Yes. Let's have you describe it. I think what we do is I put 90 seconds on a big bad clock. Something you might like to know. Before we get into it, the girl version of Marquess is Marchioness.
Marchioness?
Marchioness.
Marchioness? Has that ever been a thing?
Yeah. It's what the girl is. It comes up.
I think you're going to have to work on referring to all women as girls, but let's move on to me describing this book.
Okay, I'm going to give you 90 seconds. During those 90 seconds, I would like for you to describe every single thing that happens in this novel.
Yes.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Set, go.
There is a young debutante on the scene in London who is looking for a match. She's a lovely young lady named something.
Louisa
Shelby.
Selby.
She has been brought to the city by her brother, the dashing and oddly effeminate Robert Selby.
Uh-huh.
And they go to a party and they meet a cranky man called Lord Pembroke. And Lord Pembroke is quite taken with Robert Selby and decides to give Robert Selby the nickname Robin and sort of court Robin in a way that, like, you know, he's openly, not openly, but like he's happily bisexual. So he's not afraid to be with a man, but you know, it's not exactly part of polite society back then. So he has some confusing feelings about Robin. Eventually discovers that Robin is not Robin, but Charity Church, who was engaged to the young Robert Selby, but unfortunately he passed and she took his place, went to Cambridge, and then began taking care of his sister and trying to marry her off so that they could have
end time
this estate in the countryside.
Okay, you took it real slow.
I didn't realize I was being timed, honestly.
Really?
I thought it was just a conversation between two friends.
Okay, all this stuff about the 90-second, the big bad clock, just kind of
paying attention.
When I said, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Let's see, I feel like there's a little bit more we need to get into. The Marquess of Pembroke,
and actually,
Alistair,
they don't want the estate.
Alistair's a cantankerous old meanie. He doesn't know how to love.
He's a bit of a meanie. Yeah.
He doesn't know how to love. And the Charity Church, a.k.a.
Well, his dad.
Yeah.
His dad was quite a lover.
His dad was a lover,
the former
and
Lord Pembroke, and sort of sired a lot of illegitimate children,
and sacrificed his good name in order to live quite happily with his mistress.
Yeah.
And but then, so this cantankerous old marquess, who is unlikely to ever find love, is way above Robin, nay Charity Church.
Yeah.
And so it's his searing attraction for her transcends a lot of his cantankerousness and his difficulty with class boundaries, which is kind of endemic to the time.
Yep.
And I think that's the bulk of it.
That's the book. He's got two sisters.
Yeah. He's got two illegitimate
sisters. He's
trying
to decide whether or not he wants to pay for them to become ladies.
It's good. We'll leave it at that. I thought we could do a segment.
Please. God, I love segments.
Okay. Well, this one involves you.
Okay. I'm here for it.
It's this little segment that I took some time, and I took a lot of I wrote down a lot of notes from this book, and the segment we're going to do is called Regency Romance MASH.
Oh, okay, like MASH, like
Mansion, apartment, shack, house. Tanner's doing the...
this isn't MASH.
Yeah, okay. It's an audio medium. He's doing the thing where, like, your hands go in and out. Yeah. No, I get it. I could see it. People don't know, even from the clicking that you made, it's not helpful. You know that thing where with its paper and you look in, it's like a pyramid
it's like
type
a
thing?
Teller.
It's like that, but not that. It's actually MASH.
Yeah.
MASH stands for Mansion, Apartment, Shack, House.
So what? How do we do this?
Here's what I've done. I've written down a number of things that all are taken from this book. Spouse profession, living situation, profession, and ride.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you two for each of your own.
Okay.
And then we'll see how your Regency life is going to end up.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yep.
Okay, so you can pick two spouses.
Of anyone?
Who you want?
My spouse.
That you want to marry. Okay, so Jamie, that's number one. Okay, and who else?
Anyone?
Anyone in the world. If Jamie died,
I have an answer. I'm just worried it's not the right answer.
Okay. Well,
is there wrong answers?
No, there's no wrong answer. I just want to.
Okay, Jar Jar Binks.
Okay. Two J's. Jar Jar Binks and Jamie. God, the adventures you'd have together.
Yeah.
Okay, so I need two spouse professions. What does your spouse do for a living?
In like real life, should I tell you what Jar Jar Binks and Jamie do, or is it just stuff I can make up?
This is the I'll paint the picture for you. It's the Regency. You're reincarnated, yeah. But it's back in time. It's the fucking Regency.
Okay.
And you're a Marquess, we don't know. We're gonna find out what you are. But you want to have the happiest fucking life, and it's like, do you know what John Rawls, Veil of Ignorance?
Yeah. Yeah.
You do know John Rawls, The Veil of Ignorance?
Yeah.
Do you want to explain it to me, or do you want me to explain it to you?
Galactic senator.
No. No. John Rawls, the premise...
Is one of the professions.
Okay. All right. You don't want to talk about the Veil of Ignorance. That's fine. Galactic senator.
Representing Naboo. I don't know if that's important.
Rep Naboo. Okay. That's fine. Who else? One other profession. We got to hurry through this.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't realize we were hurrying. Diamond thief.
Diamond thief.
Because I feel like then we could be rich, right?
Sure. Living situation, basically, like, where do you live? And
swamp.
Swamp.
Mm-hmm. And do you want two of those, too?
Two of those, yeah. Diamond mine.
Diamond mine's pretty good.
That'd be perfect for the diamond thief.
That makes life a lot easier.
Okay. And profession, what do you want to be doing? Two of those.
Diamond appraiser.
Appraiser of diamonds.
Or maybe, like, cutter.
Great.
And is sex haver a profession? Yeah, sex worker.
Okay.
So put sex haver.
Sex haver. What about, what does Boss Nass do?
He's the boss of the Gungans.
Okay. You didn't want that?
Can I have three?
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, boss of the Gungans.
Boss of Gungans. And then I'll allow you to pick two for ride.
Okay. I have to look this one up if you'll excuse me for a second.
What are you driving? You don't know what Jar Jar drives?
Gungan submarine vehicle.
This isn't really a Regency, but I guess I'm going to allow it.
The Gungan Bongo.
Okay. And give me one more.
Horse.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so now pick a number between...
Who's to say it's not Regency?
Okay, it's fine.
It could be Regency on Naboo.
On Gungan. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, we don't know. It's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So, yeah, it could be Regency. Pick a number between 3 and 10, please.
4.
Okay, so I'm going to try to go through this as fast as I can. 1, 2, 3, 4. Your spouse is not the cat-carrying astronomer.
Well, that wasn't one I said.
Well, I picked a bunch, too.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you were picking a bunch, too.
I picked a bunch. You picked a bunch. This is how MASH works. You never played MASH?
No, I guess not. You remember one. We did this one.
Okay, yeah, he's doing the fingers again for the pyramid thing. I can't remember what that's called.
Yeah, fortune tellers. We always call them paper fortune tellers.
Well, we're doing it this way. Do you remember the cat carrying? There's a cat carrying astronomer in this book. Lord Pembroke goes to this like party that's like kind of beneath
him. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's it's my favorite character in the book. There's this guy who's just an astronomer, and Lord Pembroke is like, that guy is like a cat.
That's his like party thing.
Yeah, so you're not marrying that guy. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's like that
four.
Guy who walks around Manhattan, and you like go up to him, and you're like, oh, I'm going to take your picture. He's like, no. Fuck you, $30.
Yeah, yeah, he has a cat on his head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not going, your spouse's profession is not a minor Northumberland landowner whose income amounts to less than £2,000 a year.
Oh, thank God. I mean, I'm not marrying exclusively for money, but, you know, I think it would be nice.
Well, £2,000 a year isn't a lot. Okay. It's about what a minor Northumberland landowner would make, as we know from
But that's been eliminated, right?
Yeah, that's eliminated. 4. Your living situation, you are not hauled up in a cowshed with a couple of poachers.
Okay. I'm happy for that.
1, 2, 3, 4. Your profession is not aged prize fighter.
Okay.
Your profession is not diamond appraiser.
What?
Your ride is not Gungan Bongo.
What?
Your spouse is not Grimes.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember Grimes from this book? Grimes is in this one.
Grimes was in this one. Elon Musk's wife.
Yeah, Elon Musk's wife is the butler. 1, 2, 3, 4. Your spouse's profession is not Galactic Senator representing Naboo.
Fuck me.
1, 2, 3, 4. And your living situation is not a swamp. 1, 2.
That's actually probably for the best.
4. Your profession is not bloodthirsty old bear trapper.
Okay.
One, kind two, of disappointing, three, four. Actually. Your ride is not a horse. Guess what? We've honed it on your ride. It's a carriage.
Okay. Yeah. Pulled by what?
I bet it's a Baruch Lando.
Pulled by what?
Probably horses.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Your spouse is not Jar Jar Binks.
What? I feel like you're doing this on purpose.
I'm not.
You picked
Jar
Jar stuff.
I didn't. You picked 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Your spouse's profession is not a gamekeeper's cottage at Fenshawn. And it's your profession. Your profession is not sex haver.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4. And we've honed it on your spouse's profession, diamond thief. 1, 2. We're almost done here. 3, 4.
Yeah.
Your profession is not a cuckolded farmhand. That's from this book.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4. Your spouse is not Jamie.
Well, she's going to be pretty disappointed about that, I think.
I think once she hears what you end up with, it's going to be pretty good. 1, 2, 3, 4. Your spouse is also not old Aunt Agatha, so we've honed it on your spouse.
Oh, she was so sexy, though.
It's Nivens.
Nivens.
The solicitor.
Okay.
The Nivens is the old solicitor who works for the Marquess.
Yeah.
So we're almost here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Your profession is not the boss of Gungan, so you're a mad nun. And 1, 2, 3, 4. Your living situation is not a diamond mine. We've got it. Ready?
Yeah.
You are married to Nivens, the solicitor, whose profession is diamond thief.
Okay. Well, at least we got that.
Your living situation is a sinecure at a comfortable rectory in Kent.
That sounds nice, actually. Is Kent nice?
Kent is lovely. And your personal profession is a mad nun, and you ride in a
Baruch
Lando carriage.
Lando is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was... Regency
Mash.
Romance Mash.
Am I meant to do that for you next time?
You can if you want. I would like to do this for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that for you next time.
Feels good?
I mean, I'm a little disappointed by some of those things.
I mean, the rectory.
Notably,
in Kent,
I think.
Sinecure in Kent.
If I'm going to be honest, what I was gunning for was spouse Jar Jar Binks, spouse's profession, Galactic Senator.
Yeah. No, I could
home,
tell.
Home, swamp.
Yeah.
Gungan
I could tell.
Mongo. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me read you this passage.
Please.
Alistair had to choke back a laugh. And who is the circus freak in that metaphor? This is at like one of these like soirees that Alistair kind of. He's coming out of his shell.
Yeah.
And he goes to these soirees with his like half sister that he otherwise wouldn't go to, but Robin has really kind of pulled him out of his shell here.
Yep.
And who is the circus freak in that metaphor? It can't be your sister. Oh, I don't know, he said, affecting a mock philosophical tone. Perhaps we're all circus freaks at the end of the day. Is that from Tacitus too?
Okay.
Despite his best efforts, Alistair felt a smile tug at his mouth. Were you listening to us? Selby asked brightly. Miss Allenby is brilliant. She reads Latin, which is remarkable enough, but she also reads Greek.
Right.
And I think what Cat Sebastian is asking here, unless I'm wrong, is for us to do a segment that we love, that's a beloved segment from this podcast called... Let's read from my thesis.
Can I do a segment really quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Just as it's related to this passage.
Yeah.
It's my
Okay. All right. It's a segment within a segment.
Is that from Tacitus too?
Yeah.
Despite his best efforts, Alistair felt a smile tug at his mouth. Were you listening to us, Selby asked brightly. Miss Allenby is brilliant. She reads Latin, which is remarkable enough, but she also reads Greek. Mm-hmm. Alistair did not care one jot who read Greek and who didn't. And my burn's on you. Because who gives a shit who reads Greek?
All right. Okay. That's rude.
Do you want to save your burn until after you've read from your thesis? Or do you
want to? Let's read from my thesis. So where did we pick up? Can you? Why don't you remind us where we got to last time?
We read the intro, which is in Greek.
It was in Latin.
It was in Latin. We talked a little bit about...
Do you remember the story? Do you remember what it's called?
Yeah. It's about a horse, right? Vampires?
It's not about a horse. No, that's something else.
I think there's vampires in it now, too.
There's not vampires. I'll just pick up where we left off.
Okay.
And then just let me know what you think.
Are you sure there's not vampires? We talked about vampires a lot last week.
While some Greek novels, particularly Longus's Daphnis and Chloe, had by this point established themselves as classics and continued to enjoy attention from artists and scholars, Kataton failed to spark any significant interest until 1876, when Erwin Röder published Der Greikische Roman und sein Vorläufer. That means the Greek novel and its predecessors.
I know what it means.
Röder single-handedly set the terms for subsequent study of the ancient novel, and he continues to exert an influence despite what turned out to be extensive conjectural blunders in his assessment. There's a footnote here. Do you want to hit up the footnote?
Yeah, it's not a footnote, though, right? It's an endnote.
It's an endnote, yeah. Let's get to the endnotes. Although new discoveries of manuscripts have often proved him wrong, Röder's importance cannot be underestimated. So I kind of like redeem him here a little bit.
Yeah.
As Simon Swain points out in the introduction to his 1909 collection of criticism, Oxford Readings and the Greek Novel, Röder's main thesis that the romance grew out of a combination of the love stories of the Hellenistic poets and literature of paradoxography and fantasy travel with a philosophical bent was in no wise affected by the discoveries of the papyrologist.
Did you say fantasy travel?
Yeah.
You know one good conveyance, means of conveyance for fantasy travel?
Gungan Bongo?
Gungan Bongo.
Yeah.
There's always a bigger fish. That's what.
Do you want to keep? Do you want to keep going with this, or do you want to save it for next time? It's kind of.
I mean, it's pretty engaging, honestly.
Okay. One such blunder was his misstating of Calero,
sorry, you misunderstood.
Which he assumed to have been written in the 5th or 6th century. Had Röder been correct, Caraton's romance, and this is actually key to the whole.
Yeah,
point
you misunderstood my point when I said it's really engaging. I was thinking maybe you could spin it off as your own podcast.
You think?
I think so. Yeah.
You think I could do a whole podcast on this?
I think you...
Not a lot of people write about this novel. It's pretty unknown.
Here's what I'll say. I think Brian Reardon could do a whole podcast about that.
More popular when he published his translations of a bunch of Greek novels and kind of included Kalara.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not well known, I think. So you think I should do a whole thing?
Here's what I tell people about content.
Okay, yeah.
Try everything.
Okay.
Be experimental. Do whatever strikes your fancy.
Yeah.
And if it works, it works. If it hits, it hits.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, the worst that's going to happen is it gets ignored.
Okay. That's great.
I mean, unless it's problematic. Is Kaere problematic?
Kaleroa, it's extremely problematic. Yeah.
Yeah. I think to spin that off into its own show.
Yeah. Okay.
I think
and
it's
so
worth
we'll
it.
Do another, we're going to do a separate podcast, Tanner and I, called Just
no,
Exploring
no, I'm
My
not,
Thesis.
I don't think I have time. I'm sorry. You'll have to do it on your own.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kat Sebastian, for inviting me to read from my thesis. I'm looking forward to next time this kind of comes up. We've got a lot to
thank you,
cover.
Boring British guy who wrote that book in 1990.
Brian Reardon?
Yeah, Brian Reardon.
Yeah.
For all of
American.
Your effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he American?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Should I tell you my burn?
Yes.
Okay. Can I give you two burns?
Yes.
This is Aunt Agatha, who you almost married in Regency Romance MASH.
Yeah.
Who's like the chaperone for Robin and Louisa, who we haven't talked about much, but like the whole premise of this novel is that Robin is trying to get Louisa introduced into society so
right.
that she can like
find a
do
find
better
a,
than she otherwise would have.
A match.
Aunt Agatha, may I present Lord Pembroke? Charity spoke loud enough to wake the old lady.
Eh?
Aunt Agatha answered, momentarily startled. Oh, so you're the Marquess. How nice for you. And then she closed her eyes and went back to sleep. Pretty good.
That is good. That reminds me of you.
It does remind me of me. I would say something witty like that, wouldn't I? And
it reminds me of you when we travel together.
Yeah?
Because you're always sleepy.
Okay, that's true. Well, we often travel to like Tokyo.
Yeah.
It's not like that surprising. I was so sleepy the whole time. Like literally the whole time.
Yeah.
There was no time that I wasn't sleepy.
Yeah. You slept the entire like 13-hour plane right there too.
I think I took some of your I'm scared on airplane drugs.
I think you did too. I think not only did you take some of my I'm scared on airplane drugs, but I think you washed it down with a glass of red wine. That'll make anyone sleepy.
Yeah, and that's what's called being hooked on synchro.
Yeah.
I'll just read another quick one, and then we'll maybe take a break. Ready?
Yeah.
So this is like – so the big issue of this book, and this really isn't much of a spoiler. It's just like – it's kind of the premise of the novel. But the estate, as you will know from your Jane Austen, is entailed upon the male heir.
Yes.
And so Robert Selby, who is the brother of Louisa,
yep,
did die.
He did die of influenza.
And by dying of influenza, that means that the entailment goes into effect and Louisa will never see a fucking penny. And that's why...
Their cousin... Lord
something or other
Chester,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah, like we'll inherit
Checkers.
But so that's why Charity Church, who is just like their friend, is pretending to
well,
be a
man. Well, Charity Church was married to
yeah, correct, yes,
Robert Selby.
But she's pretending to be a man. So she's pretending to be him.
Yeah.
So that the entailment
and they have no designs on this estate. As soon as Louisa is married off, then they'll just do away with Robert
Selby.
They'll
let it all go.
And the
but they need to
Uncle
keep,
Checkers
they need
can
to
have
keep
the
illusion of the estate being like something that she might get so that she can be introduced into society.
Yep.
So that's the facts that you need to know. It's all laid out early in the novel for this burn to really hit. You ready?
Yep.
A boating accident, Charity said, remembering what Alistair had suggested. It seemed so preposterous when he suggested it, but now it was the only way to keep him and Louisa safe. There would be no body. You could get a death certificate if a witness attested to Selby falling overboard. The merest trifle, Keating spat. I gather I'm supposed to be the witness.
Keating
fucking
is,
boats.
Keating is...
The butler, yeah.
Keating is Charity Church's
yeah,
friend,
no, and thank you for saying that just right at the kind of punchline of the book.
Now you go back and say the punchline.
You want me to go back and say it? Fucking boats. It's a burn on boats.
It's a burn on boats. Good.
Yeah.
You know what's a reliable boat?
What? The Gungan Bongo.
Yep.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog.
If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Jackie!
That's my name.
I want to explore a certain phallus with you.
Okay, that's a weird, very weird statement to say to almost anyone.
In a segment that I think we can probably workshop the name on.
Okay.
You say the segment is called Girth Check.
Girth Check!
Yeah, I think I call it How Long That Dong?
How it's also the alternate name for it is How Long That Dong?
How about this?
Okay.
Girth Worth. And we sort of assign a value to it.
Girth Worth.
Yeah, maybe it's like bronze, silver, gold, platinum.
Sure.
Like Ethereum.
This is our hit segment. It's called Girth Check. How Long That Dong?
It's Girth Worth.
This is where we find out the worth of that girth.
Yeah.
And
okay, that's good.
I've only got one passage, really, that, I mean, there are a few passages, but there's one that, like, does more than the others.
Okay.
Do you want me to read it? Or you
yes,
got
please.
Some?
I mean, I can just speculate.
What would that do for us?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, speculate. Based on what you've read of this novel, how long that dong, what's the worth of that girth? And again, also, we recognize that these terms are relative. Like, it doesn't need to be long to have value.
Oh, no, it's just, I don't think it's about length at all. I think it's about girth. I think this is purely a measurement of girth.
Of worth.
And it's not, it doesn't pertain to sexual, like, satisfaction at all.
Yeah.
We are just, like, butchers.
We're butchers. Okay.
Sizing up a slab of meat.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
And the girthier it is, the higher value it is.
That's
great.
And I think that
higher the market value is.
We can build that into the lore of the segment.
Yeah.
Hey, we're the dong butchers.
There's got to be a synonym for penis that starts with B.
The bell end butchers.
Yeah, I guess. Should I look up synonyms for penis?
The bingus butchers.
Bingus? Synonym.
Don't worry about it. Let's not worry. No, let's not get sidetracked. Do you just speculate? No, let's not. You speculate.
Listen to this. Perfect. Oxford Dictionary. Similar words to penis.
Yeah.
Phallus, okay. Male member, fine. Erection, fine. Yeah. Pee-pee, fine. Mickey, huh? Lunchbox. Intermittent organ. They so quickly, like, just swerve off the path.
I'm talking about me phallus, me Mickey, me lunchbox, me intermittent
lunchbox.
Organ.
It's like something out of Peaky Blinders.
I've never once referred to it as my lunchbox. That's not right. That one's wrong.
Okay, we're getting sidetracked. We're lunchbox butchers.
Yeah. There's not any really good bologna pony.
Stop saying stuff like that.
Apparently they call it a birdie in the Philippines.
Okay, good. We're the
birdie. So maybe we can be the birdie butchers.
Perfect. And based on your speculation, Tanner, professional birdie butcher, how long that dong?
Here's the thing. I read this book.
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't fixate on Lord Pembroke's dong in a significant enough way to make me think that it is a particularly girthy dong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this is grade C dong.
Okay. It's bronze.
Still good. You can still, you know,
you get a lot
you
of
can
meat.
Still
you fill up that lunchbox.
To Sunday supper, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
allow me to read you a passage.
Oh, you hear that?
What?
Did you hear that sound?
Ghost?
No, our pipes have started singing. Every time you turn on a pipe, it goes, and every time it does it, Miles goes, what that?
It's like, Miles, it's the same fucking thing.
And he goes, ah, and I go, ah, and we all sing along together. Just me and the boy in the pipes.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I guess this has been
Dead Dog.
Dead Dog. Let me read you this passage. Mm-hmm. She freed him from his breeches and drew him slowly inch by inch. I'm sorry for the blue language here.
Yeah, I, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
We're birdie bushers here, and, you know, we're just doing
our
best.
It's part of the job. It's part of the job.
And drew him slowly inch by inch into her mouth, savoring his heaviness on her tongue.
Okay, so
enjoying every groan and shudder she elicited from him. Even if things went horribly awry, they would have this, they would have one another, they would have the way their bodies connected. She only hoped it wouldn't be spoiled by shame and resentment. Heaviness kind of stuck
heavy
out
is,
at
heavy is
because heavy is like a brick is heavy.
Here's the problem, though, Jack, is we're not in the business of density.
Yeah.
We're in the business of girth.
Yeah, so maybe it doesn't. It could just be very it could be very small and flat.
And
but,
dense.
But
heavy.
Dense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But heavy, to me, like, let's talk about what heavy is. I think a brick is heavy.
That could be augmented, too, though.
I think, like, a...
You can have, like, nickels taped around it.
Big piece of salami is not heavy. Do you
see
what I'm
saying?
That's
true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he's augmenting?
I don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't go into it. The novel has a lot of sexy
stuff. It was heavy in her mouth and tasted like nickels.
It doesn't say that.
It doesn't?
No, it doesn't say tasted like nickels.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still have the Wiktionary page for dick synonyms up.
That's
perfect. Master John Goodfellow.
I hope you have to give like a Zoom presentation for work tomorrow. Master John Goodfellow.
Yeah. Piece of pork, isn't it?
Shall we talk about the sexual interactions that they have?
No.
No. Okay, you want to skip it.
No. I don't want to skip it. I just want to sanitize
No, no,
it.
Yes. No, I do, yeah. too. Yeah, no, and this is a segment that we have. It's called Two Prude Dudes.
Yeah.
And
we're repressed.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people listen to the podcast at the dinner table.
Well, yeah. We do it. I mean, are we heroes? I don't know.
But we do it
for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
One of the reasons is because Jack is a repressed British man. I'm a
repressed
good down-home Midwestern boy. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not here to talk about sex.
We want our listeners who may not have read the book to experience what we experienced on your behalf, but in a way that...
What's a hyponym?
A horse, something that is a name for a horse. That's just based on my Greek. Hippo is horse and nym is name. So
Oh, it looks like it's maybe a synonym that includes the original word.
Okay.
Macro penis, super cock, horse cock. Micro penis, pencil dick.
What are you?
Hyponyms.
Please. Wait. Hyponin. That's okay. Sorry. No, it's pronounced hyponym, but hupo means over. So it's like beyond. A name that's like beyond.
So it's the word, but extended.
Yeah.
So it includes dick and cock.
Yeah. Stop saying these things to me.
And what's a mironym?
A mira is a wonder.
Oh,
or something marvelous.
Glans. Piss slit.
Okay, stop it. Please stop saying these things to me. Please.
And meatus.
Please stop saying these things to me.
Meatus.
Please stop.
Do you think that's where weedus got their name?
People like to listen to the show at the dinner table with their families, and we want to let them know what happened, what we experienced, but in a way that's family friendly. So yeah. We're going to take a passage from the novel, and we're going to make a few tweaks to make it family friendly. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Do you want me to read one, or do you have one you'd like to read?
I would like you to read one.
Okay. I'm just going to read the first one I pulled out here, and we'll just do what a good editor does.
Yeah, I'm going to have this
Cat's
page full of synonyms for dick ready to go.
That's perfect. I don't think you'll need it.
Oh, okay. Should I pull up the synonym for vagina?
Well, it depends on which passage I read. Do you want me to read the really dirty one, or do you want me to read the... What are you laughing at?
One of the synonyms for vagina is just life force.
Who fucking wrote this?
No one's ever called the vagina the life force.
No one has ever said that. It's like some fucking like like overly like simp thesaurus writer. What do you want me to read? The dirty one or the fun one?
Dirty.
Okay, fine.
You want to do the front one?
No, it's fine. I'm reading it. Ready? He leaned forward and kissed the corner of her mouth. We can't have that. He can't kiss anything, I think.
Well, I think he kissed like someone's ring. It's like a sign of submission.
He kissed her ring. He kissed.
Sign of fealty.
I think kissed is already too suggestive.
Kiss is tough. Kick.
Kicked the corner. Oh, a corner kick.
Corner kick. Yep. That's a thing in martial arts.
Soccer.
In soccer. Yep.
He leaned forward and kicked the corner kick.
Yep.
Where her lips turned up in a small, brave smile. I guess she's the goalkeeper.
She's the goalkeeper, and she thinks she can block this one.
Okay, so I'll just add a full stop there. He leaned forward and kicked the corner kick. Her lips turned up in a small, brave smile. She's the goalkeeper. He had her on the bed before he could think better of it, and she pulled him down on top of her, parting her legs so he could settle against her where they both needed it.
Technically, that's all fine.
Okay.
Semantically, that's all fine.
Oh, yeah. But for our purposes, we can't have almost any of it.
Yeah.
He had her on the ground.
I gotta stop. Look, I have to navigate away from this list of vagina synonyms.
Yeah.
So distracting.
Yeah.
Some of them are just...
I don't want any of them.
Obscene. Yeah. Stench trench.
Please stop it! That's like the other guy who wrote that thesaurus entry.
That's the like make
the asshole.
Guy.
He's yeah. like, "What's this life force shit, man?" You know what I call it?
Yeah,
yeah. You have no idea what you call it, dude. Okay, he had her. He had her in the grass. He had her in the grass before she could think better of it. No.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Can you
please
go back?
Stop.
I navigated away from the vagina page and navigated to the testicles page.
Please.
And
stop.
One of the testicles one is chicken nuggets.
Okay, are you done?
And I just feel like who's ever generating this list is like making it up as they go.
But you're enabling them in a way.
I guess.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Don't you think that you're enabling them?
Who's ever called it chicken nuggets?
You and this other person.
I gotta start.
Whom you are.
Profiteroles. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead. Let's move on.
Profiteroles is one? Okay. Turn it off. It's you. It's like a conversation between you and this person who shouldn't have done it.
All right. Well, so she's in the goal box.
Yeah.
She's got a corner kick coming right at her.
Yeah.
He's got to bend it like Beckham if he wants that to get in the net.
Yeah. And she's parting her legs so he could settle against her where they both needed it.
Maybe parting her legs.
Yeah. Parting her legs is fine.
That's fine. So he could.
So the ball.
Shoot
see,
the ball
I think you know what? This whole
it.
Thing is bad because it feels like a metaphor. Like kicking a ball in the goal
yeah,
is already
too sexy.
Too
Soccer's
sexy.
Already too sexy. Right.
Let's not have any of that.
Let's go as technical as possible
yeah.
here. What else could they be doing?
What about what's the best vehicle for riding around on Ganga?
It's a good question. It kind of depends whether or not you're talking about the Naboo knees, like the humans who live on Naboo.
No,
in which case I would say it's one of the Naboo starfighters.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about Gungans
yeah.
living underwater, I would say probably the Gungan Bongo.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Let's start from the beginning again. He leaned forward and opened the corner of the Gungan Bongo.
Seems fine. It's kind of a triangle-shaped sea vessel, so it would yeah. be all corners.
Her lips turned up in a small, brave smile.
It's fine.
He had her in the Gungan Bongo before he could think better of it.
That's kind of what happened to Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, am I right?
Exactly. And she pulled down the door.
That makes sense.
Parting the steering mechanism so she could settle against it where they both needed it.
It's fine. Yeah.
Bowing his head, he took her mouth in a hard, punishing kiss. And that's... Cat, Sebastian, please work with us. Just work
okay, so
with us.
Okay, so here's what happens. When Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan get in the bongo, Shortly thereafter, they are attacked by a big fish with a hard punishing mouth.
Yeah.
Or hard punishing. What was the phrase? A hard punishing bite.
Bowing his head, he took her mouth in a hard punishing kiss.
So maybe it's like navigating fish. The bongo.
Yeah.
They had to avoid some
Hard punishing bite from a
bites
fish.
From big fish. Yeah.
She seemed to understand, biting his lip and digging her fingertips into his shoulders.
Biting the bongo.
The fish seemed to understand, digging its
teeth
into the bongo.
Bongo.
Not only pleasure, but also a little bit of pain. That's fine.
Yeah.
He pulled off her cravat and opened her shirt and waistcoat.
Seems fine. If you got to bail out.
Okay.
Of the bongo. You don't want loose fitting clothes when you're trying to swim to the surface, okay. You know?
She was beautiful, spread out beneath him, her creamy breasts bare beside the
absolutely
white linen
not.
Of her shirt and the dark silk of her waistcoat.
Absolutely not. No, I don't know awful. If there's a way we can sanitize that. I think we just need to excise it.
Let's just cut it. We're gonna cut that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've cut that. So far they're bailing from the bongo. It was more erotic.
They're thinking about it.
They're going to bail. They're thinking about bailing. But they've taken off some of their stuff so they
preparing
can,
to bail,
they've got those
right.
like little like things in their mouth where like they can breathe underwater. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, good. All right. So we're just going to cut that and we'll move to the next sentence. It was more erotic than any sight he had ever allowed himself to imagine.
Scary.
It was scarier than any sight he had ever allowed
more
himself
scary.
To imagine. More scary. Than any sight he had ever allowed himself to imagine. He sat back on his knees to better admire the sight. She was breathing.
And you know, I think what he's talking about there is when that bigger fish comes in.
Yeah, and then
eats
another
the
big
fish
one comes
that's
and
eating
eats
the bongo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. There's always
so that's
does somebody
all fine.
Say there's always a bigger fish?
Yep. Qui-Gon.
Yeah. Qui-Gon says that. Yes. Okay, good. This is good. I think this is really working for us now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. She was breathing heavily, her small perfect breasts rising towards him with every inhalation. It's probably fine. They're scared.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's true. It's
reverently,
clinical.
Reverently, he skimmed his hand down her shoulder, cupping her breast, thumbing her nipple. A small sigh of satisfaction escaped her lips, and he felt his...
What?
He felt it. It's a word that means a male chicken.
Oh, Master John Goodfellow?
The master... like... A master Gungan.
Boss Nass.
Okay, yeah. He felt Boss Nass throb in response.
Boss Nass has been with them the whole time?
I guess in this, yeah.
I don't even think there's that many seats on a bongo.
So wait, tell me if this works. Reverently, he skimmed his hand down her shoulder, cupping her breast. We absolutely cannot have that. And thumbing her nipple. We absolutely cannot
no,
have that.
No. Cupping her...
breathing apparatus?
What about that little rat tail? You know how they grow, the Padawan Jedis grow little rat tails?
Okay, yeah, cupping her Padawan
like right over here, like
rat
behind
tail.
Her ear.
Yeah, pulling on it.
Yeah,
Gently pulling on her Padawan rat tail. Mm-hmm. A small sigh of satisfaction escaped her lips, and they felt Boss Nass throb in response.
Yeah.
They noticed Boss Nass was there.
That seems fine.
Okay, I want to see you, she said. That's okay, right?
I mean, divorce from context, it doesn't make much sense, but yeah.
Okay, take off your clothes.
Well, I mean, that could be sort of a
she's talking to Boss
Nass bailing out again. Yeah, she's turned to Boss Nass. She's like, hey, you got to take your clothes off, too. We got to bail.
Okay. And so he did, drinking in her frankly appraising stare. Then he knelt between her legs and gave Boss Nass a few leisurely strokes.
Seems pretty charged.
gave Boss Nass something is fine. What's the Gungan currency?
Great question. Gungan currency. Currency unknown.
Okay, gave Boss Nass a few bars of the unknown Gungan currency.
Unknown currency.
Yeah.
Wait, possibly it's just the galactic credit standard.
Okay. Okay, there we go. Okay, that's fine. Then he knelt between her legs and gave Boss Nass a few
galactic credits. Yeah.
Any other requests? She eyed him for another long moment. That's fine. Now take off my clothes.
Okay.
Bet you're okay with this?
I mean, I guess. If it's still in the context of bailing out of the ship. Cause
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
because you can't wear like your standard.
You don't want to be wearing loose fitting clothes if you're trying to swim to the surface, even if you have a rebreather, which I think is what those Jedi things are called.
Okay. He spent a good deal more time undressing her than he had himself. That's fine. Kissing all the more interesting parts as he exposes. We can't, absolutely cannot have that.
No.
It's not kissing anything. Can we just say that?
Kissing is too close. Kissing is like pot. It's like a gateway.
It's a gateway, yeah.
Sex thing.
Yeah.
It always leads to other stuff that we're not comfortable discussing.
Yeah.
So let's say that he was... I guess we could reintroduce the kicking corner kick.
Oh, yeah. We abandoned that. Because it felt too sexual.
Right.
But kicking aside all of her clothes as they swam to the surface, I think.
That's fine. That's good. Yeah.
Okay. He braced himself. So now they're on the surface of Naboo. He braced himself over her on one forearm and notched Boss Nass at her entrance.
Okay.
Notched Boss Nass at her entrance? That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, that's nonsense. Cat? Jesus, come on. Cat.
I guess it's the entrance to... What's the world that... Like, when they... Remember when they go in, like, Boss Nass is, like... They go into his antechambers? So he, like, bowed to Boss Nass.
Oh, in...
it's, like, Oto underwater.
In Oto Gunga.
Okay. And bowed to Boss Nass at the entrance of Oto Gunga.
Yeah. Okay.
That seems fine, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're almost here. He chased from his mind any thoughts of the future. That seems fine. Concentrating instead on the purr of contentment she made as he... It says here slid into her inch by inch, and I don't think that's okay. Oh, slid into Oto Gunga.
Inch by inch?
It's a little charged.
He went dick first. That's a power move. Actually, that's probably fine. What he's trying to do is he's trying to establish kind of like his, like himself at the top of the
food chain here. Fine.
You're sitting there. You're Boss Nass. You're sitting on your throne. You've got that bubble wall.
Yeah.
Because like all of Oto Gunga's bubbles. It's been announced that you have visitors.
Yeah.
You look with anticipation at the bubble wall.
Yeah.
In front of you. You're Boss Nass, keep in mind.
Yeah. No, I've got it.
And what do you see come through the bubble wall? Erect penis.
Yeah. It's heavy.
And you're just like, oh. Okay. And it's covered in nickels. Like bedazzled with nickels.
Okay.
And you're just I'm dealing with the real deal here.
I think we did this.
Yeah.
Oto Gunga was wet and soft and tight as it accommodated Boss Nass and the gang.
And his colleagues.
It was lithe and supple beneath him. It was his, goddammit, no matter what. Even if they never did this again.
Wait, would they?
At least he would be hers. Good. We did it. That was lovely. It was a fun little story.
Yeah, and I got to really exercise my, frankly, atrophying Gungan knowledge.
Yeah, no, I'm glad we had you here for that.
Yeah. It's been too long since I've really got to explore that space, but I'm glad I got the opportunity.
We're going to go now.
I guess just very quickly, we don't really have time to get into it, but just to sort of add to the mythology, go ahead and assume Gungans are part of the narrative universe that is Love in the Time of Horses.
Oh, yeah. We didn't have time to do our romance novel that Tanner and I are working on, which is called Love in the Time of Horses. We'll be back with
it. But I guess,
week.
Like, instead of adding to the book, we will add to the Bible. And
we'll add to the Bible.
That the Gungans and...
Gungans are in it. Yeah.
Oto Gunga are part of...
That's a really good point.
...the story.
Okay. I would like, Tanner, to thank you very much for bearing with me this week.
You're welcome.
I would like to thank our listeners, the... What do we call it?
We've got to come up with a better name than Sex Pots.
What is it called when you...
Oh, we've got a whole list of names here.
No, we can't say penis or vagina things. What about...
the Master John Goodfellas.
I was thinking like Love Children.
Wait, what was the really funny vagina one that I
No,
liked?
We can't have that. Let's forget it. I'd like to thank our listeners
the
for
life
bearing
forces.
With us. I would like to thank our listeners very much for bearing with us. We're going to figure out a thing that we call you. Please do remember to subscribe to our Patreon. It helps to support the show, which takes a surprising amount of time and effort for us to do.
I read these dang romance novels each week.
So if you do subscribe to our Patreon for just $5 a month, We're currently reading the Sweet Valley Twins books. It's tons of fun.
Yes. Yes. I think we still do a song every week.
And it's a great way to support what we do. You can also support us by just going to our support page.
Yeah.
Which you can find at bit.ly/rattlesnakejake. And I would like to say very specifically thank you to Aaron, Kat, Samantha, Anna, and Catherine for supporting us through bit.ly/rattlesnakejake. We really appreciate that. It's a wonderful way to support the show. But you can also do it by going to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCCpodcast, and getting a whole other show where we sing the descriptions.
Yeah.
Or you can do both. And please buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCCmerch, and join our Facebook group. It's called Baby Nation. It's on Facebook. Everybody is nice in there and good, and also very nice and very good and nice. So what are you doing?
Me? I'm in it.
I know. I'm talking to the listeners.
I'm in the group.
And finally, rate and review our show, Apple Podcasts.
Follow it everywhere you follow podcasts.
Subscribe. Sure. If you don't subscribe, Spotify. Subscribe. It's really helpful to us if you subscribe. And tell a friend about the show.
And you can send them. I don't know if you remember back to the beginning of the season, but we put up a little promo spot to kind of tease the show and let people who may not be familiar with us kind of in on.
Yeah, if you have friends who love romance novels and you want to get them into
the
show.
Send them that teaser.
Send them that teaser. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
All that remains is for me to say that this week we read a novel. The novel that we read was called Unmasked by the Marquess, The Regency Imposters, Book 1 by Cat Sebastian.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we're going to be reading
Human Sebastian.
Yeah, it's by Cat Sebastian.
Right, okay.
Next week, we're going to be reading a little book called Grimspace by Anne Aguirre.
Our first
sci-fi
wade into sci-fi romance. Which apparently is an entire subgenre of romance.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm really excited to delve into that.
It's very sexy.
All that remains is for me to say that my name this week has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
Tanner.
And this is Strange Bedfellows. We don't have an outro. Goodbye.
We might be childhood friends and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose. But I guess that's how it goes.
He leaned forward and opened the corner of the Gungan Bongo. Her lips turned up in a small, brave smile. He had her in the Gungan Bongo before he could think about it. This was similar to what happened with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. She pulled down the door, parting the steering mechanism so she could settle against it where they both needed. Navigating the Bongo again, they had to avoid a hard, punishing bite from a big fish. The fish seemed intuitively to understand what was happening, turning suddenly to dig its teeth into the Bongo. Not only pleasure on this trip through Naboo's waterways, but also a little bit of pain. He pulled off her cravat and waistcoat. They were clearly going to have to bail out of the Bongo, and their loose-fitting clothes were going to be a liability. What he saw through the glass of the cockpit bubble was more scary than any sight he had ever allowed himself to imagine. He sat back on his knees to better admire the sight.
There's always a bigger fish.
She was breathing heavily, her small, perfect breasts rising with every inhalation. It was from fear of the fish. Reverently, he skimmed his hand down her shoulder, gently pulling on her Padawan rat tail. A small sigh of satisfaction escaped her lips, and they felt Boss Nass throb in response. That's right. Boss Nass had been there the whole time. "I want to see you," she said to Boss Nass. "Take off your clothes. We've got to bail from this Bongo." And so he did, taking in her appraising stare. Then Alistair knelt between her legs and gave Boss Nass a few galactic credits. "Any other requests?" She eyed him for another long moment. "Now take off my clothes. Our rebreathers won't be much good to us if our loose-fitting clothes are dragging us down during our escape." He spent a good deal more time undressing her than he had himself.
and he wasn't kissing anything. Kissing is a gateway that always leads to other stuff. Instead, he kicked aside all her discarded clothes as they swam towards Otogunga. Once they reached the entrance of Otogunga, he braced himself over her on one forearm and bowed to Boss Nass. He chased from his mind any thoughts of the future, concentrating instead on the purr of contentment she made as he slid into Otogunga, inch by inch. Otogunga was wet and soft as it accommodated Boss Nass and his colleagues. It was lithe and supple beneath the group. And now, it was his, goddammit. No matter what. That's right, they had passed through the bubble-like hydrostatic force fields that made up the entrance to Gungan City.
Be very